This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
هذا الرجل الذي دائما يتكلم الألباني هذا، ليش ما تنصحون الشباب أن يركزوا على يلا 11 بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. ما بعد، اليوم 11 من شهر ربيع الثاني 1445 الموافق ل 26 من شهر أكتوبر 2023، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك، كتاب الله عز وجل. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ابن كثير ويرفع درجة الأليين. So إن شاء الله we continue from where we stopped last week, and I believe we're supposed to begin with new surah, right? سورة البينة. سورة البينة. This is سورة مدنية. And most of the Qisar surah are Makkiya, but this one is Madaniya. It means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after receiving the surah. قال أبي وقد ذكرت ثم. He says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my name is mentioned in that place. Subhanallah. He said, وقد ذكرت ثم يا رسول الله. He said, my name is mentioned in that place, يا رسول الله. قال نعم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, yes. قال فبكى أبي. So Ubay cried out of happiness that his name is being mentioned in the Mala' al-A'la. That's why a scholar said, As-salatu ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min Allah azza wa jalla huwa al-thana'u wa al-dhikru lahu fi al-Mala' al-A'la. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي. What is the salah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the salah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is to mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil mala'i al-a'la. Yeah, this is the real, you know, nature and the root of the success in life, to have your name being mentioned in that place. Because nobody will reach this except somebody who qualifies it. And usually these ones, when the name is being mentioned, there will be no change. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he told the companions that he is going to give the flag during the battle of Khaybar to somebody, yuhibbuhullah wa yuhibbullah, yuhibbullah wa yuhibbuhullah. He said, I'm going to pass the banner of the Muslims during the battle of the Khaybar to a man who loves Allah and Allah loves him. This is a unique attribution that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave somebody. Very unique attribute, sifa, for a person to have it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Yeah, because loving Allah, everyone says he loves Allah. But does Allah love you? This is the main question. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that, so everyone was rushing. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their ultimate goal is to reach this level. So when they hear that this man, whoever he is somebody that Allah loves, so everyone was rushing to the place. And his love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passes the level of claims to reality. Yeah. Because if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he loves Allah, that means his love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a claim. Is a reality. So everyone was looking for this. Umar ibn Khattab said, I never look for leadership until that moment. I don't want it. But at that time, when the Prophet said, this is a person that Allah loves, he said, I really wish I got that one. So people went to Fajr with the Prophet very early, and they tried to get the first row, the first saf. And the Rawi said, after the prayer, people are stretching their necks so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will see them properly. But subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'lam haythu yaj'alu risalata, huwa al-hakim. He chose Ali bin Abi Talib for that mission. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, aina Ali bin Abi Talib? He said, ya Rasulullah, asabahu ramad. Ramad is a sickness that affects the eyes. Like Adiyara, you know, he couldn't see that much with that eye. So he couldn't come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked somebody to go and bring him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam da'a lahu wa tafala fi ayni. He spit in the eyes and make dua for him. You know, fabari'a, instantly became okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the flag. So as I said, this should be the goal of a believer. How to attain this level, how to get it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, and also your love is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how to get it? Practice the deen, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam correctly. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Follow me. Follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, you ask Jibreel to love you, angels also to love you, and their love will be cast on earth. You will rarely be harmed by anyone, except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test you, to elevate you in ranking. Because those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, sometimes he tests them. Very harsh test. And the purpose of this test, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is to let them reach a level which they will never be able to test them so that they won. The believer's test is always a win-win situation if they address it and receive it with patience and doing that which is right. So this is with regard to لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ, I mean the virtue of the surah and what happened when this surah was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore it is my personal advice to all of us to aim for this. Yeah, aim for this. It is possible for a person to reach this level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your love for him. But you have to be serious and also honest to yourself. Mm-hmm. Make sure that whatever you do is in line with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. If in case you tilt a bit, come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as quickly as possible. He will accept you. يقول الله عز وجل لم يكن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين منفكين حتى تاتيهم البينة. أهل الكتاب, these are the Yahud and the Nasara, the Jews and the Christians. And they will remain, although there are a lot of claims that nowadays there are no أهل الكتاب. I don't know what this claim is talking about, but أهل الكتاب remains until the Day of Judgment. Because all the justification given by those who don't agree with the existence of Ahlul Kitab these days, they said because they changed their religion, they commit shirk, they do this and that, but Allah was calling them Ahlul Kitab and they are doing all of those things. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرُ إِبْنُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَى الْمَسِيحُ إِبْنُ اللَّهِ لقد كفر الذين قالوا إن الله ثالث ثلاثة. لقد كفر الذين قالوا إن الله إن الله هو المسيح ابن مريم. يعني. So in the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them أهل الكتاب, and he also talked about their shirk and their deviation. So they will remain أهل الكتاب. These are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the book, and the scholars said these are Yahud and Nasara. Yahud and Nasara, the children of Yaqub alayhi salam. They're both from the same father, Yaqub alayhi salam. That's why one of the thing that many people don't understand is about Isa alayhi salam. Isa was a Jew by race, you know, by lineage was a Jew. The same chain with the rest of the prophets of the Jews. Yeah, it's just that he came with a new risala. And the people who followed him, they are called Nasara. But they're from the same family of Yaqub alayhi salam. So these are the Ahlul Kitab. والمشركين, these are the عبادة الأوثان والنيران. Those who are worshipping idols and fire. من العرب والعجم. From the Arabs and others. Wherever they are. The message is for everyone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. Because you have either Ahlul Kitab or others, regardless of their nature, Ahlul Kitab and others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مُنْفَكِّينَ حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةُ. Meaning they will remain in the situations, whatever situation they are in, of rejection of the truth, not accepting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and doing that which is right, hatta ta'tihum al-bayyina. They will never stop behaving in that until the time al-bayyina comes to them. Or they were in that situation of darkness, state of loss, no guidance in their life, hatta ta'tihum al-bayyina, until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them al-bayyina. Al-Bayyina is referring to the Quran or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As some scholars said, this part is interpreted by what comes after that. What comes after that is the saying of Allah, Rasulun min Allah yatlu suhufan mutahhara. Or to avoid this conflict, you go with both. Yani, Al-Bayyina, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the risala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with. حتى تأتيهم البينة رسول من الله يتلو صحفا مطهرة. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to them with the truth, and he's reciting, you know, to them that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him of the Quran. This is the reference with the word suhufan mutahhara. It's not another suhuf or book that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought other than the Quran. He did not bring anything except the Quran and the Sunnah. Yeah, Sunnah hiya qasim al-wahy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala inni utitu al-Quran wa mithlahu ma'ahu." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the Quran and something similar to it. قال رسول من الله يتلو صحفا مطهرة فيها كتب قيمة. And in this suhuf, you have كتب قيمة, أي معتدلة وعادلة. The religion of justice and moderation that is based on adherence to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's a very straightforward a path the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to the people. And this straight path is based on justice. And there is no mistake in it. Yeah. That suhuf that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reciting to the people carries no mistake in it. No khata, no mistake, no forgetfulness, no error in it. It's the most accurate book ever brought by anyone. All the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were like that. Before the modification by the people, they were very accurate. You get it? The original one is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it's sifa min sifatillahi azza wa jalla. But the book given to the people that came before us has been changed. But the original one is accurate and has no mistake in it, no error in it, no doubt in it. Every single thing that is mentioned in it is a fact. Yeah. And there is no time when you will find any problem with that fact. It will never change. Allah says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. So that's why if we don't go with the modifications, interpretations that we introduce ourselves, which are contrary to the real meaning of the Quran, the miraculous nature of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains. I'm saying this because sometimes we try to also interpret some of these nusus, we try to apply them on the events that are taking place in this life. And subhanAllah, sometimes we do that in a wrong way. Yeah. Why is that happening? Because unqualified people are speaking about these matters, talking on our behalf. Ibn Taymiyyah said, the person who can do this is a person who is well-versed in the Sharia, and also at the same time, he is aware of what is going on in this life of science and other disciplines. Then he will be accurate. You will see him being very sensitive when it comes to these type of applications. Yeah. Many criticisms have been leveled on the Muslims and Islam because of those intruders, I call them. People who don't have the capacity, you know, to speak on our behalf, but they do. And simply because they have the language. Yeah, there's a problem of this life. If a person has the language, can talk in a very beautiful and nice way, you know, people will think this is the real scholar. So that's why those interpretations, from time to time, you will see a counter-argument coming from the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. And that's true. And this is what is supposed to happen. You know? It's very natural. In Indonesia, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect, when the tsunami happened, you know, there are some masajid that did not get destroyed. Yeah. Some Muslims are saying, oh, mashallah, you see, that's the evidence that Islam is the truth. But then somebody brought an idol also there standing, the tsunami doesn't hit it. And then if we are to apply the same concept, what does that mean? Yeah, and then we get stuck. Yeah, because you are doing it at the first place in the wrong way. The Quran doesn't need these things to establish its nature of being a fact. It doesn't need this. And trying to exaggerate and go beyond the limitation can bring evil rather than benefiting. So that's why we really have to be very careful in doing this, because this is a kind of what? Fatwa on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means, it's better to remain silent if you don't know. Or at least if it is too clear for you and you have no doubt that somehow this is the correct approach, then say, Wallahu a'lam. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fiha kutubun qayyima. So very straight path that doesn't have any mistake in it. And Quran is the only book that can claim this. There is no way for you to bring a book on earth that doesn't have mistake in it. Except the Quran. Except the wahi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. Doesn't have a mistake. And we have this wahi being manifested in two things, right? Quran and the Sunnah. Do we have mistakes in the Sunnah? Salam. Do we have mistake in the Sunnah? No. No. There is no way for a mistake to happen in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. That's why the scholar said, the same way Quran has been preserved, the Sunnah also has been preserved. Yeah, most of us don't know this. Yeah. Because you need to protect the Sunnah. If you don't protect the Sunnah, then you are opening the door for the criminals to reach the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sunnah is like a security guard for the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why one of the Salaf al-Saleh, when he was asked about the Sunnah, he said, Qadiya ala kitabillah. Imam Ahmad said, I don't want to use this word because Qadiya means that cut it off. Yeah, but he is referring to a protector, something that makes things clearer. He said, this is the job of the Sunnah. Imam Ahmad knows. He said, I know what he means and it's correct, but I don't want to use that word. Yeah, but it is absolutely true that Sunnah protects the Quran. And that's the reason why the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they hate which one more? The Sunnah. Yeah. Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he sent Abdullah ibn Abbas to the Khawarij to debate with them, what did he tell him? قَالَ لَا تُجَادِلْهُمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Do not debate with them using the Quran. جَادِلْهُمْ بِالسُنَّةِ. Debate with them using the Sunnah. قَالَ فَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ حَمَّالٌ. Who would you? Yeah. You said this, another person will tell you, alhamdulillah, another person will tell you there is another interpretation. This is what we hear nowadays. You know, whatever you say, somebody will tell you, there is another interpretation. Yeah. If you ask him to explain how does that interpretation, you know, emerge, they don't know. But he hears his shiyukh saying that, yes, there is another interpretation that justifies what he is doing. Yeah, this is the world we are living in, unfortunately. So he told him, don't use Quran, use the Sunnah. That's why those Orientalists, their target is the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because they cannot modify. They can go and introduce other hadith, you know, which are lies against Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the purpose of that is to destroy Islam from within. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with people who were there depriving themselves from sleeping to make sure that these type of fake hadith don't succeed in the Muslim communities. Yeah, and subhanAllah. Since from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he said, Man qala alayya ma lam aqul falyatabawwa maq'adahu minan nar. Whoever said something, you know, and attributed that thing to me, which I did not say, he should look for his place in hell. The scholar said, actually, he is informing us that that person already chose his place in hell. So from that time, also people were trying to verify. Abdullah ibn Unais received Jabir. Jabir went to Abdullah ibn Unais in Sham. And he spent 1 month just to confirm a hadith. Not to narrate the hadith from the scratch, no, to confirm. Umar used to confirm when somebody tells him, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companions used to have a doubt. When Abu Hurairah said something because he talks a lot of, using hadith. قالوا أكثر أبو هريرة. It started indicating to him that you are, we don't know where you get these hadith. Yeah, he got annoyed with them. Sayyid Bukhari, Abu Huraira got annoyed with them. He says, "Wallahi, if not because of an ayah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma haddathukum hadithan." Said, "I will never narrate a single hadith to you." And he was really annoyed, really annoyed. He said, "If not because of that ayah, I will never say a single hadith." And then he looked at the Muhajirin. He said, "You remember when you guys went being busy with your business, you know, and you Ansari are always with your farms, and I'm with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I just need to eat and then just keep on staying with the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout my life." So that 3 years he spent, those 3 years, the vast majority of them is with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why he managed to get those huge number of hadith. So he said, "If not because of this ayah, I will never narrate a single hadith for you." Which ayah is that? "Inna alladhina yaktumuna ma anzalna min al-bayyinati wal-huda min ba'di ma bayyanahu lin-nasi fil kitabi ulaika yal'anuhumullahu wa yal'anuhumullahu." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah says those people who are "inna alladhina yaktumuna ma anzalallah." Those people who are hiding that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, they will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "This is the only thing that is pushing me to narrate a hadith to you." And then he told them something stranger than what they are seeing from him. He said, "Hafiztu min Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa a'in." He said, "Actually, I memorized from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 2 bags of hadith." He says, "Amma al-awwal faqad bathathtuhu fikum." I just opened the first one. He said he did not open the second one. You know, the first one was open and they complained. He said, "The second one, I did not open it." He says, "Because if I open the second one, most likely my head will leave its position." Yeah, so the scholars try to understand what are these hadiths that he's talking about. Is most likely hadiths of politics and related to some people. And he said them, some people might not be happy with that. You know. But alhamdulillah, none of them was hidden. All of those hadiths, either him or somebody else narrates those hadiths, because it wasn't only Abu Hurairah who has those hadiths. So what I want you to have in mind is that sunnah is very important. It's a backbone of the protection of the Quran. You know, without protecting the sunnah, you will not be able to protect the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they hate it the most. Imam Shafi'i says, "Man ta'allama al-haditha, qawiyat hujjatuhu." You go with falsafa, you go with all of these things. I'm telling you, whatever you say, somebody has a counter argument. The only way you can make a person quiet is when you use the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because in most instances, it's very straightforward. Yeah, it's very straightforward. You tell a person the sunnah and then you have nothing to say except to obey. Yeah, even if he doesn't accept from you, he knows that he is not doing the right thing. So sunnah, in the way the Quran doesn't have errors in it, the sunnah also doesn't have error in it. If you find something, some mistake, this is tashif, either from the writers or from the naqil. But the one that comes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says, "Ma yantiqu anil hawa in huwa illa wahyun yuha." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abdullah ibn Amr, he says, "Narrate whatever you hear from me. La yakhruju min fami illa al-haq." Nothing comes out of my mouth except the truth. Anything that is related to ibadat, there is no error, no mistake in it. It is 100% correct, and in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to pass it. Shaitan, when he tried to introduce other things, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is passing the revelation, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? فَيَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقِي الشَّيْطَانُ ثُمَّ يُحْكِمُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reading the Quran, what happened is Shaitan will come and also start reading his own Quran. So that people will be getting the shaitan's one rather than getting what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying. So voices will come from every places. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, during the revelation of the Quran, when shaitan comes, he always come and try. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would delete, you know, and erase that which shaitan is casting. And he will keep that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reciting to the ummah. Get the idea, because they cannot change, they cannot meet Jibreel and threaten him. Shaitan knows that Jibreel is not a joke. But still also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not send Jibreel alone. He says, what? He says, فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ إِلَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا. Jibreel doesn't come alone when he gave the wahi. And subhanAllah, I love reading this because this shows how much, you know, sensitive is the matter of the wahi. You Allah is very sensitive with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and should be also very sensitive with us. And this is the most important thing we need in this life, wahi. Your life lies in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. If you don't follow the wahi, you are what? Dead, moving object. Iwallah. The person who doesn't follow the wahi is equal to a dead person. Say it without hesitating. No, the one who doesn't follow the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equal to the dead person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have revealed to you ruham min amrina. What is ruh? Soul. Allah called the wahi soul. Without the soul, no life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the wahi the soul. Yeah. So no wahi, no life. Hanafi does it beautifully when he says there is no way for the heart to be tranquil, to have tranquility and peace, except if this heart knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only way you can survive in this dunya peacefully, when that is the wahi. So back to the Quran. So Quran, protection of the Quran, as I said, necessitate the protection of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I close this session of about the sunnah and the Quran with the statement of Imam Shafi'i. He says, من تعلم السنة أو من تعلم الحديث قوية حجته. Yeah. قوية حجته. If you learn hadith, your side of evidence is going to be very strong. So, من تعلم الحديث قوية حجته. The side of your evidence is going to be stronger. You rarely find somebody who can argue after listening to what you are going to be saying from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So let's all pay attention to this. We always mention this, right? Or like, try your best to make sure that whatever you do in this life is based on the sunnah, right? Is based on the sunnah. Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, As-sunnatu safinatu nuh. Man rakibha naja, wa man takhallafa anha gharik. Sunnah is a safina of nuh. Man rakibha naja, wa man takhallafa anha gharik. Is like the ship of Nuh alayhi salam. You use it, you pass. You stay away from it, you would get destroyed. Walabut, walabut. So your attachment should be with who? Rasulullah. Qala uddu alayha bin nawajid. Yeah. But nowadays we are holding upon the sunnah of who? Personalities and some mashayikh. Iwallah. If I don't follow Abdurrahman's sheikh, I don't want to mention your sheikh, but if I don't follow his sheikh, nobody will accept me. No. They look at me as a deviated person because I don't. And we reach a time, no matter how much you follow the sunnah, how much good and sound is your aqidah, as long as you don't go and sit next to that person, you didn't show your allegiance to that person. And we make him even better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was in a city, subhanAllah, I saw somebody somebody was in a place where they sell books, and then he said, this is tamamul minna. Wallahi, the way they see the shabab comes, you know, I was like, do we do that with Sahih Bukhari and the Quran? You know, no, because it is written by Sheikh Nasir. We respect him so much, we take from him, but we follow the same manhaj he is following, which is to attach yourself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam alone. But unfortunately, people attach themselves to other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will go to Abdurrahman and tell him, Abdurrahman, don't follow Imam Malik, because you will be following the madhab. Follow madhab is batil. Right? Don't. I tell him, don't. don't follow Imam Malik, don't follow Imam Shafi, don't follow Imam Abu Hanifa, don't follow Imam Abu Hanifa. Already some of them even took him out of Islam. A'udhu billah. Who is the other one that I forgot? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, right? But at the same time, my sheikh, what is your name? Hazik. But at the same time, Hazik, my sheikh, I never listened to anyone except him. All of my acts of worship, ibadat and mu'amalat, only from him. And he, come on. Just now I was telling Abdurrahman, don't use Imam Malik. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not belittling you, but who is better, Imam Malik or my sheikh, Hazik? No room of comparison. Sorry, Hazik. Huh? No room of comparison, Imam Malik, to be compared with any one of us here. You get it? So if I'm saying, don't do this, I should apply the same concept on myself. And this is the reason why we have differences in the sex and we keep enlarging, you know, increasing these. Yeah, because we introduce this new madhahib in the name of al-haq. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do is to follow the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to whose interpretation? Interpretations of the first three generations. The first three generations of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Generation of the companions and the tabi'un and the tabi'un. These are the closest people and the people who will believe they are upon the truth and they die upon the truth. And unfortunately, we don't do. Nowadays, in shagala, ba'duna bi ba'd. We curse each other, we do. We neglected the da'wah. I was watching a video somebody sent to me from one of the countries without mentioning the name of that country. SubhanAllah, I was really annoyed with some of the du'at. Because they are busy, they're fighting. But then somebody told me that this village that you see in this video actually is 40 kilometers from the capital city. They were there every day fighting, the YouTube and all of those channels, fighting, you know, fighting themselves, fighting the innovators, fighting this and that in the city. And next to you, the village that are surrounding, SubhanAllah, they brought people who don't know how to read Surah Al-Fatiha. Iwallah. Old sisters, old brothers, they don't know how to read Surah Al-Fatiha. You will cry when you see that one. Ask about, some of them will ask about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they don't know him. You know? Muslim, what are you doing? You're busy here, you know, fighting. Why don't you go there, you know, people who are in need of you to save them? You know? But we're expert in this jarh. What ta'adil and neglecting the real da'wah that we're supposed to be doing. So I really advise you to be very careful in what you're doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold you responsible of only one thing, which is following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will never ask you, were you following Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah or not? We never got this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Taymiyyah was not sent to us. Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, Abu Hanifa, none of them were sent to us. Allah sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us. How is it possible for somebody to open his mouth, you know, without fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tell you that you cannot succeed unless if you follow Shaykh so-and-so? What is he talking about actually? And you have the younger ones, many people are there. I really advise you not to take this approach and this manhaj. Throughout my life and my experience, these guys, they never learn. You will lie. I can give you a lot of examples. These guys, they never learn. They remain in the way they are. And you see them always in a state of stress. They never relax. From their faces, you can see that this person is not living at ease. And this is not the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Manhaj of Rasulullah gives you comfort, makes you happy in life, makes you a role model that everyone is looking at you to imitate you in life. But if you come a person that you're always, what do you call? In a state of stress, you know, and depressed. You think, how is it possible for people to follow you in this regard? So be very careful. The one who is inviting you to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a person that you should hold correctly. The one who is inviting you to stick to some fulan and ilah is the person who wants you to be misguided. You get the idea? You follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who are following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are those who will be, I mean, they should be your friends. I guess this message is clear, right? Wherever you go, this should be the application. Make sure that what you're doing is correct, according to the sunnah. and don't worry about the criticizers. Can you live without criticism? No. That is no doing. We have heard people who it comes out of our mouth. But they said it now, and this is the purpose, you know. One of our scholars, subhanAllah, one of the best people I ever met in my life was that person, or that person. The closest student to him was describing him one day, you know. He said, I don't think he himself also saw somebody like him in terms of knowledge. And a very humble person. And subhanAllah, he managed to produce people. You know, he managed to produce people. If you look at his students, they're all like that. Well, you know, grounded in the knowledge, you know. They have a lot of knowledge and at the same time, very humble people. Ya Allah. Some of them taught us in Medina. So we managed to compare between the sheikh that we go to him in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who are teaching us in the university. The same behavior, the same mentality, and the same humbleness also. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. In some places, trust me, they produce people who have no respect even to the sheikh himself. Ya Allah, that's why the time the sheikh died, I'm referring to some places that I know, when the time the sheikh died, you know, subhanAllah, there was nobody to carry on his message. None. The followers kept on fighting each other. Why? Because he did not, may Allah forgive him. He did an excellent job, but may Allah forgive this janib of tarbiyah, he neglected it. So they became no respect to each other. Everyone thinks that he's at the capacity to talk and this one cannot show him anything. And then the message and the mission was gone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not teach us this. So that sheikh that I was referring to, subhanAllah, regardless of accusation and criticism, which wallahi, some of them you don't want to hear. Very bad, which they will have to, explain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. But every day when you go to the masjid, you see his halaqa is full of everyone, students of knowledge, doctors, professors, and people, hujjaj also when they come there, they hang around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write, you know, for him, qabool. But subhanAllah, one of the beautiful things that I learned from him is, we never heard him in his majlis refuting somebody. None. Just focus on dawah. That's it. Correct manhaj, spreading the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sound aqidah, very humble. Giving tarbiyah and teaching people. It's one of the few places where you go, you learn knowledge beyond what you're looking for. With no exaggeration, beyond what you're looking for. And at the same time, you feel that your iman is growing. And you know that there are some people who have comment on this. They said he should be rejected because he talks about raqa'iq. He talks about things that will soften your heart. They said this is a sign of an innovator. I don't know. It is subhanAllah. So please just be very careful and relax and make sure that you follow the sunnah, you know, and hang around those people who are upon this manhaj, not the manhaj that is inviting you to attach yourself to certain few scholars, in which when they die, then you are dead. And if they're wrong, you're also going to be wrong. At the same time, you become like what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us from being. He said, "La yakun ahadukum imma." You know, imma, right? The person that says people are right, I'm right. They're wrong, I'm wrong. Just for as long as it is coming from this person, I don't care. I just accept. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yakun ahadukum imma. Muslim is not supposed to be like that. Whoever this person is that is in front of you, when he tells you something, he should provide evidence for that. You all do respect, you respect him, but you shouldn't just look at this person as the only person who has the correct approach. Rahimallahu ibn Uthaymeen, when they praise him, he got mad at the one who is praising him. He says, do not do that again. And I really want you not to attach the truth. And that one was, he wrote a poem about Ibn Uthaymeen. SubhanAllah, Ibn Uthaymeen sensed that this guy is going beyond the limit, you know. Like he's restricting the truth to
Ibn Uthaymeen. He got mad at him. He said, this is my warning to you guys. You know, subhanAllah, these are the scholars, you know. He's supposed just to sit down, you know, and say, oh, mashallah, mashallah. Jazakallah khairan, right? But he did not. You warned him not to do that again. He told him, don't restrict the truth to somebody. He said, al-haqqu la yu'rafu bi al-rijal. Wa innama al-rijalu yu'rafuna bil-haqqi. Nowadays, it's the other way around. You don't know the truth. You don't recognize the truth because it is said by Abdurrahman. But you praise Abdurrahman because he speaks the truth. Yeah, because if I attach the truth only to you when you die, then the truth is dead. Waliyadhu billah. So I guess the message reached each and every one of us, right? So be very careful. Don't go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and regret because of your method. So Allah says, وَمَا رَسُولٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو صُحُفًا مُطَهَّرًا فِيهَا كُتُبٌ قَيِّمًا وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةُ. And these people, they were deviated. You have so many sects and groups among the children of Israel, and this happened, Yehud and Nasara, and this happens to them after receiving the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the band they need, they got it, but still they were divided. And subhanAllah, this is the sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the new people who converted to Islam during the battle of Hunayn, when they passed through that shajara, يقال لها ذات أنواط, because the mushrikun used to hang their sword on it. So the some of these new converts, you know, they told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, اجعل لنا ذات أنواط كما لهم ذات أنواط. Why don't you think it's good for us also to have something like this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar, إنها السنن أو السنن. He says, Allahu Akbar, this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His creation. He said, you have said exactly what the Jews told Musa alayhi salam. اجعل لنا إلهًا كما هم آلهة. Just, I mean, right after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from Fir'aun, what was the, what do you call, appreciation? اجعل لنا إلهًا كما لهم آلهة. They passed, people worshiping idol, they said, why can't we have somebody or something also like this? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the companion told him this, those new Muslims, when they said this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar, this is sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. And then he said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ السُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ وَذِرَعًا بِذِرَعٍ حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍ لَتَبِعْتُمُهُمْ. He says, you're going to be following the sunnah and the track of those people who came before you, step by step. SubhanAllah. He says, if one of them gets inside the hole of a lizard, one of you also will go and get inside. Whatever they do, the ummah also is going to imitate them in that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Yahudu, I'm sorry, the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, Al-Yahudu wa Nasara, are you referring to the Jew and the Christian? He said, Faman in nasu idhan, aw faman. He said, who else? This is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. Did we see it? Yes, we are living in it. People praise them more than the way they praise what we have. So this division that happens in them, it happens also in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, we will be divided more than them actually. They were 71, 72, you know, the Ummah will go one more, 73 sects and groups. And these are the main ones, right? Otherwise, if you count, you go to the small, 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 tiny ones, a lot, a lot, a lot. Every time also you have a new one, you know. I see a new method that was created, I think, in the UK a few years ago. They have all the things you have in the concert, you know. The only difference between them is just they mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they're having an interview with the leader, it was a sister, actually, she was leading them, and she said, the religion that is 1,400 years ago doesn't fit this contemporary time of ours. So we have to look into what people are busy with. We adopt the same thing with the religious ingredient so that people can accept it. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us bayan, right? Which is very clear, very clear. But unfortunately, shaitan deceived many people to take another path of deviation and having differences. Okay? And sometimes, subhanAllah, we do it as I just mentioned, in the name of what?
The truth.
Yeah, in the name of the truth. And then soon you will see people also deviating from that truth and bringing many other things which are not part of it. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ
What happened to my dissertation?
قال وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not command people to go and have those differences and sects and groups. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them to do what? To worship Him alone. ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين. What is ibadah? فعل كل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الأقوال والأفعال الظاهرة والباطنة. Doing anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and He is pleased with. Whether it is in the form of statement or action. Yeah. So it's a very strong and broad, and it has a broad meaning. You know? Not restricted to going to the masjid. Yeah. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and He is pleased with you to do it in that way is called ibadah. Yeah? Ibadah. Whatever you do for the sake of Allah, if Allah loves it and He is pleased with you to do it in the way you are doing, you get reward for that. We have countless number of them. And that's why who is the best? The one who goes to the masjid and pray and get out and go and engage in business, you know, halal business, you know, and benefit people, guide them. And he got guided by them and he was patient. Or the one who restricts himself in the masjid, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. Who is the best amongst the two? The first or the second? The first one. Yeah, the first one. Because hadhihi ibadah muta'addiya. And ibadah mutaaddiya is better than ibadah qasira. Al-ibadatul qasira is lesser than the ibadat mutaaddiya. Mutaaddiya means the one that moves from you to others. You know, transitive kind of act of worship. In a way, it doesn't benefit you alone, it benefits others. That's why it's not good for you to restrict yourself to the masajid. Allah did not ask us to be in the masajid and stay there for days except in Ramadan, right? For the itikaf. Other than that, you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go in, out in the community, give da'wah. You know, if you don't go and give da'wah in the way they're doing, give da'wah in your business, give da'wah to your family, you know. Be patient with what you see from the community. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ This ibadah has to be based on ikhlas. وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined between amal and iman, right? The scholar said this ayah also could be used to support the idea that amal dakhila fil iman, right? Amal dakhila fil iman. When you interpret the iman, you include amal, actions also. They're part of the iman. There's no way for iman to be completed unless if a person acts upon that iman. قال وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. And this is the best and the natural and the straightforward religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the humanity. حنفاء, and I forgot this حنفاء. حنفاء means staying away from the shirk. Allah called Islam ملة إبراهيم حنيفة. Ibrahim is Hanif. What is Hanif? Al-ma'il an shirk, the one who stays away from shirk. Yeah. And that's Ibrahim alayhi as-salam. We are told to follow the manhaj of Ibrahim alayhi as-salam, which is exactly the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No shirk in any form. Yeah. The Muslim, before your iman being accepted by Allah, you have to stay away from shirk. Qala wa yuqimu as-salah, and to establish the prayer. In how many things? Four things, right? To pray sincerely for the sake of Allah, and to pray according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to pray with khushu', which is hudur al-qalb wa sukun al-jawarih, to be very attentive in your prayer and also not to move a lot in your prayer. That's khushu', not crying, not showing a sad face. No, this might not be khushu' at all. Khushu' means your heart knows what you're doing and is very attentive to what you're reciting and what you're doing, you know. And also you focus, you don't move here and there. You know, those people with turbans sometimes, you know, throughout the prayer, fix this, fix that. And sometimes also play with the beard, sometimes play with the head, sometimes... all of these things are coming from shaitan. And that is a hadith, but that hadith is weak. Which says, but the meaning is correct. Somebody was playing with his beard. The hadith says, so we take it as a wisdom. Right? It says, لَوْ خَشَعَ قَلْبُهُ لَخَشَعَتْ جَوَارِحُهُ. If the heart is attentive, the hands also will be in one position. But when you see the hand going here and there, you know, and look, the eyes is looking here and there, that means the heart is not stable. So khushu means to be attentive in your prayer, and also your limbs to be standing in one place, not doing any movement except that which is necessary for the sake of the prayer or something that you cannot avoid. Like what? Yeah? Can avoid scratch, unless if it is too much, you know. Come on, Abdurrahman, be brave, you know. Anyway, when the scratch is too much, yes, it's better to scratch. Because if you don't do and your heart is not like what Ibn Qayyim mentioned, yeah, because those guys, I don't think they would feel that there is something itchy in their body. Because when he talk about the categories of those people who are praying, he divided them into 5 categories. The best one, he said, these are the ones when they say Allahu Akbar, they submitted their heart completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't know what is going on in this life. And they brought a lot of examples to support this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةَ عَيْنِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Nowadays, when we pray, we are aware of every single thing that is going around us. Anyway, let's try our best, inshallah, and understand things in the correct way. The battle between us and shaitan is very strong, especially when it comes to the prayer. Because he knows that prayer is the best after the tawheed. So shaitan will never let you succeed in praying. So you should understand this and make sure that you stay away from anything that can distract you when you come to pray. Clear? That's why when you are hungry, you eat first. And what do you eat? If the food is there, okay? You're hungry and the food is there, you eat first. And then you go and pray. It's not part of the taqwa to say that, no. Pray is better than food. And trust me, what are you going to be thinking about in your prayer? Your khushu is going to be all on that. You know? And if you have family and you left that food and you know that kids are there, you'll be thinking, yeah, maybe before I come, they already get it, you know? So Rasulullah said, and how do you eat? You eat little and go? No, you don't. You eat your satisfaction. You eat until you're satisfied. Yeah, liyakula hajitu, the Prophet said. Yeah, because if you take, it's better actually to go without eating. If you're going to eat little. Yeah, because if you eat a little and it was so nice, there's what you like, you know. Trust me, there's no way for you to have a nice khushu in the prayer. It's better not to know what is that, you know. So that's why when you start eating, you eat what you are satisfied. You know that you're not coming back to food and then you go to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to go to the bathroom. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La salat aliman. Yudafi'u. Al-akhbathayn, and the one that is fighting the two khabith, the urine akramakumullah and the other one. The Prophet said, go relieve yourself first and then come to pray. Allah wants you to be focusing in your prayer. Anything that would distract you, you know, stay away from it and then come to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing is to pray on time. Yeah, to pray on time, to make sure that you pray on time, because not praying on time is useless. And if you're going to pray again, your prayer will be useless. Yeah? Allah says, pray Dhuhr at this moment. And then intentionally I delay it until another time, which is not the Dhuhr prayer time. My prayer is useless. Even if I'm going to repeat it 1,000,000 times, it's useless. No qada for it, according to the best opinion of the scholars, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna, fahuwa raddun." And if you pray not at the moment Allah wanted to ask you to do, nobody asked you to do that. Allah did not command you to do it. And as such, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it will be rejected. So what does he do? That person should repent to Allah, cry for his sins, and increase the amount of the sunnah prayers. Inshallah, they will top up and fill the vacuum he has when he was negligent of those wajibat. And that's best actually for the believers to know this. Because many of us are negligent because they think we can come and catch up later. Yeah, there are people who are staying away from the prayer intentionally so that they can go back home and combine them all together at once at night. Yeah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we qim al-salat wa itu zakah. This is al-ihsan ila al-fuqara, being kind to the fuqara, giving them from that which Allah SWT bestowed you, is a very excellent tool that Allah SWT prescribed for the ummah to alleviate poverty, to give people comfort and to bridge the gap between the rich and the poor, and to stop wealth being, from being circulated among the rich people only. Allah says, كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. SubhanAllah. This is the wasp that fits them. Those enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. From the أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ and the مُشْرِكِينَ, Allah says, if they die in kufr, they will go to hell. No apology. And some people try to modify. No, it doesn't accept modification. It's just like that. This is not our religion. This is Allah's religion. He says, if somebody died in kufr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَسْمَعُ بِيَهُودِينَ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيُّونَ ثُمَّ يَمُوتُ وَلَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِي إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. A Jew or Christian that hears about me, but he did not accept me, he died like this, he will go to hell. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. They are the worst amongst the creation. Because you cannot be good to others and you are bad to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? It doesn't make sense. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. As for the right people, the righteous people who believe in Allah and they put their faith into practice, they translate that faith into action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَةِ. What is al-amal al-salih? Any righteous deed that you do for the sake of Allah and also according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَةِ. These are the best. There is no way for you to compare Muslims with the non-Muslims. In terms of virtues in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muslim is better than anyone in the eyes of Allah. We're not talking about the country, right? This one is a politics issue. But in the eyes of Allah, there is no way for a kafir to be like a Muslim at all. You understand this. Some people praise the Western communities, the kufr, the root of kufr. They praise it over the Muslim territories. They tell you that one is better. And somebody who doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't have knowledge, and doesn't know what he is saying, he will tell us that he found Islam in the Western community, but he doesn't find the Muslims there. And he found Muslim in the Muslim community, but no Islam. I mean, if you even look at this word, does it even make sense? How does he become Muslim if there is no Islam in the place, in the first place? And then which Islam are you talking about? So they should understand what Allah SWT says here. He said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَةِ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَةِ خَيْرُ كُلُّهُ فِي مَنَاتِقِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And it's wajib for a person to restrict himself and be patient. Wherever you go, you need to be patient with the Muslims. It's better for you, better for your religion, to practice your religion the way Allah SWT wants. So what is the reward of those people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قَالَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. They will receive Jannah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. The one that you have, rivers going under it. SubhanAllah. You have how many types of rivers, the main ones? Four. Water, asal, laban, and khamr. Yeah. In Surah to Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the four. You have these are the roots, That's why ask Allah to go to where? Firdaus. Don't just say, ya Allah, give me Jannah. You get it? You can say, ya Allah, give you Jannah, but say, ya Allah, give Ibrahim, Nuh, Tahir, Firdaus. If you don't like the Firdaus. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةَ فَسَلُوهُ لِفِرْدَوْسِ. You see, whenever you ask Allah Jannah, don't ask any Jannah. Ask Him to give you Firdaus. فإنها أعلى الجنة is the highest level in Jannah. وأوسطه and the best. الوسط here means the best. It's not middle or something that I see here some people trying to give some explanation. I don't know what they're talking about. But وسط is the best. قال أوسطهم أي أعدلهم وأفضلهم. كنتم خير أمة وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا أي عدولا وخيارا. So وأوسطه means the best Jannah. The best Jannah is Firdaus. قال وفوقه عرش الرحمن. And the roof of Firdaus is the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. And all the rivers in Jannah are coming from that place. So it means that you are so honored by Allah in the way people are taking from your leftovers. Yeah. Because you get that water first and then it goes to anyone has more than what he's looking for, but it's a privilege that to know that yeah, the root is from your house. Yeah. And on top of all, even if there is nothing in your house, and the one who is in the lowest level of Jannah, God, what did he get? More than 10 times of this world. He's the poorest person in Jannah. And on top of him, the minimum you can say is that 100 levels. But some scholars said the levels in Jannah are according to the ayat of the Quran. It's in the hadith of Muslim that when you memorize Quran, Allah will ask you to read what you memorized. And with every ayah, Allah will give you a darajah, level in Jannah. Like that. That's why some scholars said, the person who memorized Quran and act upon it is supposed to be Iznillahi Azza wa Jalla to find himself in Firdaus. La'ala, bi Iznillahi Azza wa Jalla. So between every level and the one that below is like between heavens and the earth. If the lowest one get this, what do you think about Firdaus? What did this person has? SubhanAllah. And I was saying, even if there is nothing except the fact that the Arsh of Allah is on top of your house, it's more than enough to make you happy. And add to that also the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were in that level. Of course, a different position, but they're also in that level. So jazaa'uhum inda rabbihim jannatu adnin tajri min tahtiha al-anharu khalidina fiha abada. They remain in Jannah forever and ever, no going out of it. Radiallahu anhum wa radwan. Allah is pleased with them and they're pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhalika liman khashiya rabbah. Who will get this Jannah? Somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to fear Allah? Practice the Sharia. It's as simple as this. May Allah grant us tawfiq.